Weeks since I've seen some of you, and it is a good pleasure to be here with my brethren in Wallingford. And it was great being back home in Kansas City with the brethren there. But home, I have found, is wherever there are faithful brethren. And it's a good thing to be here today. So I appreciate the time you've given me today to talk with you a little bit about the Word of God. Today, we're going to be examining the girdle of truth as found in Ephesians 6, verse 14. Today we will learn why we must gird ourselves in truth. Today we shall examine the question, what is truth, so that we may know with what to gird ourselves. And of course today we will also learn how to gird our waists in truth. Turn with me now to Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. That's Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The first question we're going to ask is, why must we do this? Paul tells us we are in a spiritual battle. The stakes are not for territory or treasure. The stakes are much higher. This is a battle for the eternal souls of men. Paul tells us this is a battle not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual enemies. We wage war against sin in our own lives. We wage war against spiritual hosts of wickedness. We wage war against Satan. We are warriors whose weapons are not guns, but rather the Word of God, the truth of God. We battle for the truth. We battle for our souls. We battle for the souls of all men. Therefore, we must learn to wear every piece of armor, of the armor of God, and do it rightly. We cannot stand unless we do this. Holes in our armor will lead to falling in the spiritual battle. He says, stand. Therefore. Having girded yourself in truth. Stand, Paul tells us to do, but after we have done the prescribed things. How can a warrior hope to stand in battle lest he put on the armaments of battle? Let us not be slack in taking up the armaments of God. Let us hasten to learn of his implements of this spiritual warfare. Paul next says, gird thyself. Girding one's waist is to cover the softest regions of the body. The word waist can also be translated as groin. Since this is to draw a metaphor, it can be either one or both. The idea is to gird the softest regions of your person. In this case, your spiritual person, your soul. So this is all symbolic of that soft region. Those thoughts and feelings you have, your heart, your mind, that is with what you shall gird with truth. Keep those bits of you covered in truth. Take truth and bind it on your heart. The girdle of truth will keep Satan from eviscerating you on the spiritual battlefield. That is what a girdle does. It protects against such attacks. Speaking of God, the writer of Psalm 51 and 6 says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. And in Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4, it is written, let not mercy and truth forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. It's imperative in God's eyes that we take truth and we bind it upon our inward being. We make it who and what we are. It isn't about some days feeling like you're going to do truth. Truth bound upon the heart is the first reaction you have. It's sort of the turn the other cheek thing. When man slaps you on the cheek, you don't punch him in the nose. But instead, you turn the other cheek because you have bound truth upon your heart. You understand what it is to do truth first and foremost. Paul tells us we must do this so that we may withstand in the evil day because we are in this battle. He tells us we learn in other parts of Scripture that we must do this so that we can fight against false doctrine, so that we may stand against the philosophies of men. So the question is, with what shall we gird our truth? Or what shall we gird our waist? Truth. Truth is what we should gird ourselves with. But as Pilate famously asked, what is truth? If he'd had any wisdom at all, he might have listened to the answer. But he was a little busy at the time. We know God is the God of truth. In the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, it says, speaking of God, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. We learn that God is the foundation of perfect work, justice, truth, and righteousness. This passage was given to the Jews so that they would remember the things that they had learned of God so far by Moses. So these things still bear out. These things are still true. God does not change. He is not changeable. And John, turn with me now to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is the Word and the light of these passages. He is truth, for he is God, and he is God and with God. The Father is in him, and he in the Father. Jump over to John 14. Starting in verse 5, John 14, verse 5. Thomas speaking to Christ. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is in the Father, and the Father is in him. He asks the apostles, who are kind of having a little hard time believing what he's saying, if you won't believe my words, at least believe the miracles I have done that the Father has affirmed through me. That's what he's pointing to. Those are the things that I have done. The dead are raised. The blind can see. The deaf can hear. The lepers are cleansed. Those are the things he's pointing to. If they won't believe his words. And it's not as though he's ever given them any reason to doubt his words, being unable or being a man who had never deceived. No deceit was found in his mouth. So let's consider that we must, in fact, trust in Christ, being the way, the truth, and the life. Turn with me now to Ephesians 1 and 13. Ephesians 1 and 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We trust in Christ. The word of truth is the gospel of our salvation. Jump back over to John chapter 1, verse 16. And it says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The word of truth is the gospel of our salvation, which came through Jesus Christ. Christians have accepted or received Christ, and so we receive grace and truth in doing so. So is that limited to just the red letters of your Bible? Just the words of Christ? Well, I don't think so. But let's go over to John 16, because my think so doesn't really account for much. John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth, which is given to us through the Word of God that we have today. Therefore, we have all of the truth revealed to us in the Word of God. We have the truth from the Father in Christ. Not your truth or my truth, but truth with a capital T. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the Spirit of truth given to us through the apostles. Recorded in the Holy Scriptures, we have today the word of truth, the word of our salvation. So we have this sort of chain of authority passed down. I'm sure you've heard that term before. And yet that is what we have today. This is the truth revealed to us. That is a blessing. So how are we to gird ourselves with this truth? With the truth? Well, turn with me now to Colossians 2 and 1. That's Colossians 2, verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our hearts are to be girded, which are to be girded, should take encouragement from the fact that we have vast spiritual wealth in the understanding we have in the knowledge of the mystery of God. We should rest assured in this knowledge that in the Father and Christ are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge revealed to us in His Word. That's the blessing we have. Let's continue reading, though, in verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. As we received Christ Jesus the Lord, we must walk in him. We must be rooted and built up in him, for we are complete in him. Do not be deceived by the empty words of the world. These philosophies of men seek to tell you there is no God. These philosophies of men seek to tell you there is no sin. These philosophies of men seek to tell you there is not life after death, nor heaven, nor hell. These philosophies seek to tell you that you do not need to walk in Christ. They are lies created by the King of lies. Do not believe them, but instead bind the truth upon your heart. Gird yourself in truth. Today, through these passages, we have learned that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We have learned that we must guard our hearts, minds, and souls with the truth of God. The Word of God is where the truth is to be found. This means not occasionally looking, perusing through. This isn't a comic book to pick snippets out of. A Bible on the shelf collecting dust is as useless as a sword in a sheath behind a locked case in a safe in Switzerland. It is useless to you. You must pick it up and study it with regularity so that you know with what truth you shall gird your waist, so you can protect your heart, so you can protect your thoughts and your feelings and your mind. So we must be ready to stand. Wrap the truth around that innermost being of yourself. Make yourself ready to put on the whole armor of God, for you need all the pieces in order to stand in the evil day. But you start with truth. This perfect truth we've been granted, this blessing of God for our sake. We, just people, who are we to get such great insights into wisdom and knowledge? And yet if you follow it truthfully, you bind it upon your heart, and you walk in that truth, it is good. But then you're going to take up the breastplate of righteousness. Next, you're going to put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, and then the shield of faith, you'll take that up, and then you'll put on the helmet of salvation so that you may rightly wield the sword of the Spirit, that being the whole armor of God. Because you are in the spiritual battle if you are a Christian. You are in the spiritual battle if you're not a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you have the armor of God, and if you're not a Christian, you don't have this armor. You must be in Christ to get the armament of God. And this armament is not something of your doing. The truth of God is not something you can do, but you can gird yourself in it. It is a gift from God, as are the other pieces of the armor. So you must be in Christ in order to have this armor, and you must be in Christ to have eternal salvation. Only through Jesus can you get the Father. Today we learn that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To get the armament of God and the salvation promises, we must believe this completely. For without belief, we have nothing upon which to build. Then we must be willing to walk away from our past sins, leaving them behind and following after Christ and his commands. Then we must confess that newfound belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a profound thing. To confess Christ before men. Because if you really believe that he is the Son of God, this is not something you'll hesitate with. It is a beautiful thing to realize the salvation given you. It's easy to say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And if you've come to that point, then you must be baptized for the remission of sins, if you have not already been, to wash away your sins. Just as those on the day of Pentecost and the Apostle Paul were told. They did these things, so too must we. Now this is the point where we meet the blood of Christ and are first set free from the bonds of sin. Then we must walk as new people. For the old man dies in the watery grave of baptism. We are born anew in Christ. Then, as a child of God, then you may obtain additional forgiveness when you stumble. But you have to repent at that point. You have to repent from those sins and then ask Him for forgiveness so that you may be washed clean anew. So you have that opportunity. And that right there, that's the stuff that should stop you in your tracks. Because you sacrifice Christ again and God is still willing to do it. He's still willing to abide with you in those dark times. What a blessing that is. If you are already in Christ and need to confess and repent of public sin, or you realize that you need to be a child of God because you have not done the aforementioned things, we invite you to come forward while you stand and sing.